Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Fowler Hour. Today we're going to be talking about being a digital nomad with Sylvie. But before we get there, just a quick message from our sponsors, Skillshare today, and a brand new course that I wanted to tell you about from Sagi Haviv, legendary designer Sagi Haviv. The course itself is called Designing Brand Symbols, the Principles and Process of Making Logos That Last. It's just from watching the introduction, I am already so excited to get started on this course, and it kind of makes me want to set up some kind of group call so we can all do it together. But wherever you are in the world, you can access Skillshare, whether that's on your phone, your tablet, anywhere with an internet connection. And with the link down in the description or going to skl.sh/cfowlerdesign, you can get 2 free months of Skillshare to use however you like, wherever you like, to learn whatever you like. Not just the course I've mentioned from Sagi Haviv, but there's courses on there from Aaron Draplin, from Paula Scher, Gary V, including some amazing social media stars, social media experts as well, to really up your game and get your content out there too. So again, that link is either down in the description or go to skl.sh/cfowlerdesign for 2 free months of Skillshare. Go and get this now. Like, don't wait for this. You can listen to the show while signing up for it and sorting it out. And if you don't like Skillshare or you want to cancel it because you can't afford it after that period of time, it's completely free. You can cancel at any time that you want to, which means you can do all of these amazing courses in 2 months, knock it all out, and then cancel if you really want. I suggest you don't, because obviously then you miss new courses like the one from Sagi Haviv. But Skillshare is pretty fab, guys. Go and check it out, and we'll get straight into the show with Sylvie. See you in a bit. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Fowler Hour. Today, I am joined by Sylvie de Leon. De Leon? Leon? Leon.
See, I can't. Leon.
De Leon. There we go. I got it, I think. God,
yeah,
it's one of these weeks. I purposely put out a call to talk to more people who are international and people who were not just from the US or the UK, and I ended up talking to all these amazing people who have names I cannot pronounce for the life of me. So, Sylvie, welcome to the show. We've got Sylvie on today's show, guys, because I saw that she was posting a lot about being a digital nomad and traveling and working as a brand identity designer. And at the moment, I believe you're based in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so when I saw this, I was instantly intrigued, because I've read 4-Hour Workweek, I've read all these other articles and books about being a digital nomad, and I love traveling as well. So I wanted to get Sylvie on the show today to tell us a bit more about that lifestyle and what inspired it. But firstly, Sylvie, for the people at home who might not know who you are, could you give us a little bit of your background and what you do in design?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, thank you for having me, Connor. And hello, everyone. So basically what I do is brand identity. I've been doing that for a few years now, around 3 or 4 years. I'm self-taught, so that was a thing. For a little bit of background, I used to study medicine. So I was in like my third year, and I literally was like, okay, I gotta follow my passion, and that's a sign. So yeah. I've been traveling for a while too. I started traveling around 2 years ago. So it was like a few months trip. Then I had to get back home. And now I've been on the road for 3 months, and I plan on keep on that forever, if possible. But yeah, that's basically what I do. I travel and I take pictures and I do brand identity.
Awesome. And as someone who's self-taught, did you say you started design, like you started learning design in 2017, so 2 years ago, or have you been doing design longer than that?
No, I started studying design, I don't know, man, around 6 years ago, maybe.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to ask you, because it's quite a leap, firstly, to do what you have done, but to then have gone into it within 2 years to be doing what you're doing is very impressive as well. And I think many people feel that when they become a designer that they have like this 5 or 10 year barrier that they have to break through before they can do bigger things, before they could travel to and do work, or before they get their big first clients and things like that.
Yeah, I know, but you know, this is what I feel. I feel like there's no such a thing of having to study for 5 years or 10 years or so. This for me was like literally my passion. And I'm from Uruguay, so that's South America. And in there, at least when I started, being a designer and like make a living out of it wasn't actually a thing. So for me, it was like this thing that I loved with all my heart, and that I would like study just because I loved it. But then when I actually got into it, it was just like this huge full-time program. If you can actually commit and study by yourself, it's way faster than going to university or that kind of stuff, because you can pick exactly what you like and exactly the things that you will need for the kind of design that you like. And like, the only thing that it's actually important is for you to feel amazing when you do it. You have to feel joy when you are like working your passion. And if so, it's not going to take you 10 years. It might take you 1, 2, 3, depending on how much you actually put into it. But there's no such a thing as having to study 10 years, because if so, there are a bunch of us, like I'm 22 years old, and there are a bunch of us working so hard and like full time and getting a lot of work. If it was to be 10 years, then I'm being a designer, since 12. That's not like my experience, at least. I don't know.
Yeah. It does make sense what you're saying, that because traditional education, particularly for design, has kind of, there are a lot more options now, aren't there? So, as you said, you can pick what you want to learn and you can go really hard into that. So to be able to say, the question is, after the 2 years of going really hard into this and learning, where do you think you are kind of in your journey? Are you happy with where you are at the moment in terms of what you've learned? Do you think you would have preferred to go to university, or if it was an option, or would it have been a case of you'd still prefer to teach yourself?
Actually, this has been changing for me for the last couple of years. Let's say 4 years ago, I was like, okay, I love learning by myself, but I think university will be worth it. Mostly because of like the networking that it will give you, at least in my country. Like you can actually get into design way easier if you are like in university. But then what happened is that I started watching this amazing YouTube channel that changed my life. It is a future. And it literally like changed everything for me. And I realized that I could have a full-time job to actually be able to live and save money so I can go travel. And at the same time, like be full-time into this. And it's been like 3 years since I started like working as a designer as a side hustle to start with, and then like living from this. And it's been the best decision ever, and I've learned so much. And I'm sure that if I was in university, I wouldn't learn this much, because I've learned a lot about like having a routine and being actually into what I want to do. Is my experience. Of course, maybe some people will have a better time in university, but from my point of view, you got to be really, really into what you're learning and really passionate and with a really huge routine in order to make it work. So for me, that was life-changing, because I changed the way that I will learn and that I will live, so I won't waste any time. And I would actually pursue my dreams, mostly because I needed that kind of like guideline in order to become a designer. So no, I wouldn't go to university.
Yeah, I totally see that. And I think we share a similar mentality then, which is that we learn better on the job, where you've got to be like put in the deep end and figure it out from there, and also have your own perseverance and your own drive and your own passion to seek those things out. As you say, you found the future in it. helped change your world entirely. So by doing that, it opened doors you may never have even seen if you were to go somewhere else, which is obviously a way to consider it. But now looking kind of at where you're at right now, from Uruguay to Malaysia, that's quite a journey. Especially when I didn't realize that you were 22 as well. I mean, I'm 24, so we're both still very young in terms of career paths. But at 22, many people are, as alluding to the university comment, many people have only just left university at 22. Many people are even just finding their feet or finding their first job or even trying to discover what they want to do at 22. So when did you realize that you wanted to go traveling, and when did you discover that you could do travel and work? I kind of mentioned a book at the start called Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Workweek, which is where I first heard or understood about the digital nomad kind of lifestyle. But what caught your attention with it, and how did you learn about this way of living?
Well, it's like a huge question.
It is.
So let me think about it a little bit, because I want to give you, this is what I think. I think that everyone sees traveling and working full time as something that is really difficult. And it is, don't get me wrong. Like, you gotta work. It's not gonna be like a gift or something. You gotta work. But I want to take this chance to make it clear for anyone out there like listening and wanting to do this, that it is possible, and it just takes like a lot of will and a lot of hard work. So I want to answer this wisely. So this is what happened. When I just started traveling, I did with an ex-boyfriend that was web developer, and he worked for a company remotely, and it was like, because it was really weird, because I was like, is that a thing in Uruguay? Can you actually do that? It was like this moment of my life where I started researching, and I was like, I always wanted to travel since I was like 5 years old. But I come from a family that not only worked really hard, but actually didn't have that much of an opportunity to be traveling around. Like, travel in South America, it's quite hard because it's quite expensive. So it was just this dream that you have as a little girl, you know. And at some point, I think that has happened worldwide. Society tells you that you need to be that part from this machine that will make it work, you know. And traveling and doing that kind of stuff wasn't actually the part of the machine that my society wanted me to do, you know.
Yeah.
So what happened is that I started researching about how it could actually be possible. So I started watching YouTube videos and that kind of stuff. And I also started like working on my own self. I started like meditating, and I'm vegan right now, but I went vegetarian at that point. So I started like all this path of actually wanted to know what I wanted to do with my life and what would actually bring me joy. Gary Vee says something that it's really cool and that really resonates with me, that is like, you will spend a lot of time of your life working, and a lot of time you'll be like working thinking about vacations. So what about living your life with so much joy that you leave your own vacations? So I started living about that, and I was like, okay, so I'm gonna go traveling. Like, I quit med school 2 years ago. When I started traveling, I quit, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go traveling, then I'm gonna come back, and I'm gonna think about what I'm gonna do. And I started researching there, and I started researching on people that was like traveling, taking pictures and creating content, and about like what actually design was, because this idea of getting paid like 10K for a brand identity design for me was like insane. Is this thing about creators, you know, that is like, I love what I do. Can I actually get paid for just something that I love?
Having a passion you can actually make money from, yeah.
Yeah, it's so insane. Like, literally, it's so insane, because I wake up every day and I'm like, honestly, I'm so blessed, because I get to work hard and I get to live my own dream. And the only thing that I actually want to do is to make everyone know that it is actually possible. So anyway, what I did was I started researching about like plane fares, and I started like looking into my life. Like, okay, so what do I do for a living? I have this work, and I of course need a roof, and I need a home, and I need clothes, and I need food. So how can I make this as minimal as possible? And how can I make an income while traveling and make this happen? So how much would that be? Would that be expensive? Would that be normal? So this is something that was life-changing for me, and I hope that I can share it here, and it will be life-changing for other people as well. When you live your life, you will always need to sleep somewhere, and you will always need to eat. So I'm pretty sure everyone listening to this is doing it from a cell phone or a computer or an iPad or an iPod. So this is the thing. While traveling, you also need to sleep somewhere, and you also need to eat something. So the only difference between living your life in the same place every time and going traveling 1 month a year and living as a nomad is that instead of changing the cell phone every 6 months, you spend that in a plane ticket. And when I realized that, I had like these lots of clothes and like all these things that I actually didn't need it, and that instead of doing that, I could be buying plane tickets and I could be traveling the world and getting to know amazing places. From that point, I was like, okay, from now on, I'm gonna live my minimal life and I'm gonna live my dream too. And honestly, it's been way less expensive to be traveling than to be having the life that I used to have, like a normal life in Uruguay. So I think that was a realization point.
Thank you for explaining that. That's very enlightening, because from my perspective, it's very interesting to hear you talk about not just traveling, but also the difference it has made to your perspective of what is happiness and what is success. You've mentioned Gary Vee in there. You've mentioned living a more physically and digitally minimal lifestyle, and all of those things are conducive to a happy life, I think. And this is the perspective I have as well, which is I was living in London over the summer, and I could only take a very small amount of things with me. So I realized that 90% of the things that I own were just things I didn't need. And as you've said, you don't need to get a new phone every year when that phone costs $1,000. I can fly to Amsterdam and back, or I can fly to many places in Europe from the UK four or five times over for that much money.
Exactly.
And to mention, obviously, I don't know too much about the economy in Uruguay and things like that, but to hear that where you were living was more expensive than where you are traveling to or living now is also something that I don't think people realize. They see traveling as this super major expense. And you made a comment of it's very difficult to travel and work. And I've actually written down in my notes here was, how do you balance working and exploring and visiting and traveling? Because as you said, I think most people, when they think of traveling, they think of this gap year experience where they spend 6 to 12 months wandering around Australia aimlessly, just seeing what happens and getting drunk. And it's not quite that. Obviously, there are moments of that, I assume.
Yeah.
But it's finding that balance. I'm quite impressed personally, because this is something that I want to do. And to hear you talk about it in a way that you're drawing from experiences of all the people that I follow as well, it's like, huh, actually, this is probably doable.
Yeah, no, it is. Like, I cannot explain to you how, like, it was a game changer for me. I remember the first time that I went back to Uruguay. So like my family is there. So I went back to like take care of them and cuddle a little bit. So when I went back and I went, like, I remember I had this white t-shirt that I loved and it got all messed up in the traveling. So I was like, okay, I need a new white t-shirt. I don't want to get one, but I need it. So I went to buy one and I was like, this amount of money is what I spent in a plane ticket. If I'm in US and I want to go from, let's say, San Francisco to New York. And it was like, I don't want this t-shirt. I don't want it. You know what? You can keep it. Let me tell you this. Right now, so Kuala Lumpur is like Asia in general. It's quite a really cheap place to be. And right now, let me give you an example about how crazy this is and how doable it is. Like everyone hearing this that wants to go traveling, you include Connor. I can like literally make a list for you.
Yeah, I need that list. You just thanks.
Do it. Like literally do it. Right now, I'm staying like in a beautiful apartment that is like really comfortable. And I'm going to talk about how I managed my routine in a second. But part of that is go to the gym. Because you need to stay active. There's no way. So this place that I'm into right now, it's like, I have a whole apartment and a gym and a pool and like all this stuff. So I could actually like work here for long amount of time. And it's like literally hanging there. It's $30 the night.
Oh, Jesus. Really?
Yeah. It's just like...
Is it like a hotel situation or are you paying like a month's rent at a time?
No, it's a hotel situation. I do pay like the rent because I stayed for a month and something here.
Yeah.
But and this is like the most expensive that it can actually get in here. So it is insane. And like literally the only thing that you need to do is to start doing it. So going to the way that I actually manage to do everything, I do have a really specific routine. So I wake up and I do like my breathing exercise and meditation. That's literally what like keeps you sane because you're changing like cultures and time zones and all these kind of things. So you need to have something that will like bring you down.
What exercises do you do for the breathing stuff? Because I do the Wim Hof breathing exercise type. Have you heard of him? Do you do what type of stuff do you do?
I have heard of him. Actually, what I do is I was a volunteer in this organization that's called Art of Living. I don't know if you've heard of it. So in there, they have like this really specific technique that goes to their Sudarshan Kriya, and what it actually does is it has this rhythmic breathing techniques. That it will like literally, it's just you can be the most stressful person in the world and you will do this exercise and it will be literally like going for a massage for like 3 hours. So it's amazing. So I'll do that and I'll do a deep meditation. And then I do writing. I started this exercise a few months ago. I'm left-handed, by the way. So,
same.
Really?
Yeah.
High five through the computer.
Just okay, and we'll do the sound effect. There we go.
So I'm left-handed and I was like, okay, so I do a lot of my work in my iPad and I was having like this really huge pains in my hand and I wanted to make a challenge out of it. So I was like, okay, from now on, I'm going to start practicing writing with my right hand. So the next thing I do in the morning is writing with my right hand. So I can actually exercise like having a routine and that kind of stuff and like commit into something that it's uncomfortable, which is really important. So I do that. And then I use the sprint technique. There's a video of Matthew and Sina. You rock, Matthew. If you're listening to this, you're amazing. That is about sprints. So you will have like this 90 minutes intervals where you will like turn everything off and just work. So I used around 5 to 6 of them a day, and I break them up between like going out and going to the gym. Because right now I'm working on getting my website up and that kind of stuff, because I was doing job that wasn't actually what I was aligned into doing right now. So I took everything down. Therefore, right now I'm working really, really hard. But normally I will have maybe 4 to 5 sprints in my day. And it's like a really intense work routine. Therefore, I have more time afterwards to go and see stuff and take pictures and enjoy the traveling.
Yeah, so on your typical day, are you doing kind of like a Monday through Friday? Oh, I'm going to do my normal schedule, my normal routine, go to the gym and all that type of stuff. So kind of a similar thing to what I would do. You break your day up into sprints. You kind of have a break in the middle of the afternoon to go to the gym because that's when you hit a weird slump during the day, yeah, and that type of stuff. And then do you block out certain times to go and explore other places? Because obviously you've just mentioned that it's $30 a night to stay in what sounds like a very beautiful place in the world with great accommodation. And that's only $900 a month, which is insanely cheap. Obviously, that's not including food and all that type of stuff. But to be able to have that kind of flexibility as well is very cheap. Obviously, if I'm talking about... Because Kuala Lumpur is a major city, is it not?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It is. And so if I was to compare that to a major city in the UK, you would be paying almost that much money for like a one-bed shared apartment in London. You wouldn't even have your own place. It's just crazy.
I know. I was like in San Francisco a year ago and I was paying like $200 a night because I was staying like in a hotel in Union Square. It was like, oh my gosh, I can pay with a week of that, less than a week of that, I can pay the whole month here. But what that gives you, that's what it, like the reason I'm in Asia right now, aside from the fact that it's so beautiful, is that I wanted a place where I could actually work a lot into my own content and my like my own work. I want to start sharing all these things so people can see that it is possible, because it was really hard for me to take the leap. So I came here because you can take less client work and work more on your stuff if you're staying in a place that it is beautiful and inspiring and cheap.
Yeah.
So that's another tip. If you are working from the like from the traveling side and you are a nomad, just like if you need to work on yourself, go find a place beautiful and cheap. Like get less client work and more of your work and you'll be totally fine. There's no reason to be working like 12 hours a day and saving this enormous amount of money and not enjoying the place where you are. Like just take it easy is one of the best things that someone could have ever told me when I just started.
So when you were looking at places to travel, what made you, obviously you're in Malaysia at the moment, but where were you looking to find this information? Because I want to talk to you about client work in a minute, but just before we get onto that, because the building block of this is finding somewhere that you'd want to go, because it, although the investment in the grand scheme of things is quite small, people like to be able to look ahead and to plan these kind of things to say, well, it's going to cost me X amount of money to travel on the plane and it's going to cost me this much when I get there and roughly how much is a meal, roughly how much is a beer, a pint of beer, etc. So did you use any specific tools or websites to find this information, or was it a case of just having to dig through Google?
Okay, so it actually depends on the place where you're going.
Luckily
enough, I've been going around for quite some time. So if you're looking for just plane tickets, what I would do is I would use Skyscanner. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing platform. And this is a tip. Use it in the incognito window, like the black one.
Yeah.
Because this is the thing. It has cookies. So when you search for some specific day or like place a certain amount of times, it will give you like higher rates for it. So if you use it in the incognito window, they won't be able to know or to track that down. So you'll get cheaper fares. So that's the thing. And then you look for plane tickets early in the morning or like late at night, same thing with trains, because it will be cheaper that way. So basically it's just like Skyscanner. And if you go to Asia, there are a lot of like Instagrammers that are here, because, you know, guys, I do understand the drill. It's really cheap and really beautiful. We will all be here, but there are a lot of them that do a lot of like vlogging. So just literally do that and start networking around. There are a bunch of people traveling. Something that I strongly recommend when you're new to a place is just like go find these hostels groups, and you meet a lot of people there, and then you'll get like information from there. So Google Skyscanner, and the most amazing network tool that we do have as humans, talking to people.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, because I've the incognito window on websites and Trainline and Skyscanner, I've used that before. That's what we used when we booked tickets to fly to Japan and things like that a few years ago, because they do that. It's crazy to think that a company goes, oh yeah, well, they're looking at buying a ticket, so let's just make it 10 or 15% more expensive every time they look, because they'll definitely still buy it. And it's like, what? Like, I swear I checked this 6 hours ago, and it was, I've had that before where I've kind of learned when the train websites switch their prices, for example, in the UK. So if you do it before 11 p.m., it will be cheaper than 1 minute past 11. Like, it's really? Silly things like that. Yeah, it can be. It depends on who, what, where, when. But often if you're booking it like days in advance, they'll switch the prices over at like 11 p.m. at night.
It depends a lot in the country.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
The thing. Like in US, you gotta go to like these airlines websites. They're actually like the own airline website. And let me just share one app. There's an app that is called Hotel Tonight that I use there in US, and I know that it works in other places. So that one will give you, let's say that there's this hotel that has like a room that is free for just two nights. So no one would actually pay for that. So they put it on this app that is called Hotel Tonight, and it will be like way cheaper, like 40% cheaper for those two nights. So that's another tip.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll put links to some of these in the description for the show notes for people who are listening. But let's get back to kind of the businessy side of things, because you mentioned taking on less client work so you can go and do those, do more traveling and do more exploration that you want to do. But the question I wanted to ask firstly was, how do you manage, find leads? Is it the same way I would, for example, that people are inquiring through a website or through your Instagram and things like that? And how do you manage working with people internationally or wherever you are and still travel? Is it just a case of good planning? Because I think many people are scared of traveling when doing client work, because they're going to feel like, oh, I'm not going to be able to talk to the client, or the time zones are going to be weird. I'm going to be up at 3 a.m. doing meetings. And
yeah. So there are a few things on that. Like, let me just tell you this about me. I'm a really flexible person. The reason I love design so much is that, aside from the fact that I love like all the creative side of it, I love helping people. And I love like being able to facilitate something to someone. That's why I'm also looking into strategy right now. Just that I'm that person. So if the reason why my client works the way it does is that if you're passionate about your business and your dream, I'm going to be as passionate as you, because I want you to get the best. So if you need to talk at 3 a.m., I will be there no matter what. That's the reason why I charge what I charge, because I'm going to be there for them. So this is the thing. I don't care being up at 3 a.m. or at 4 a.m. Like last night, well, actually this morning, I went to bed at 8 a.m. And I don't mind. Like, I've been getting used to it for so long already that it's just I do not feel the jet lag or like the changing of the time zones. It's just that for me, it's even better because sometimes it's like 8 in the morning and maybe like 8 in the morning in my client's place. And maybe I don't want to be up at 8 in the morning, but in my side of the world, it's like 8 p.m. So it's perfect. It's just like you got to be committed if that's what you want to do. Because you can be there and it's fine. Like literally, you just got to be flexible about getting client work. When I did have my website up, because as I told you, I'm going under some changing content and that kind of stuff. I used to get clients from there and also from leads. I got, I'll say maybe 50% from my website, 30% leads, and then 20% just like social media and that kind of stuff. Right now I'm getting into LinkedIn and that's a pretty interesting place, man. I'm just like, I'm really excited. It's like the leads there is just amazing. I don't even understand. I post this first post and I had like 8,000 views. And I was like, what? This is like a carousel.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah, that one looked really good, by the way. That looked really good.
Thank you. But that's the thing. Like literally, it's like everything in your life. If you have a client that is like being really nice with you and you're really committed to his work and it's 3 a.m. and he needs you, are you going to pick up the phone?
Yeah, it's that trade-off, isn't it?
Yeah, like literally it is. It's just like I'm so passionate about my work. I love it.
Yeah.
Literally, I wake up with a smile every day. And I work with people that wakes up with a smile every day because of their business. So I just want to be there to like help you out. Like I'm here for you, you know. That's the way I live my life. So of course, it's the way I do my job.
Excellent. And that's really great to hear. And I know for some people that'll be quite tough to hear because they'll go, oh, well, I like my strict routine of 9 to 5, or I like setting up a specific time to work and things like that. And it's like, well, you can do that. But as you've just explained, Sylvie, that the trade-off is that you get to live and work somewhere, wherever you want. And that does sometimes mean that you have to accommodate in other ways, especially when you're working with other people. If you're making and selling products, for example, maybe you, I don't know, make WordPress themes for ThemeForest or sell digital assets or create content, then it doesn't really matter. You can do it as and when you want and schedule it. But when you're working with real people, you have to care about real people. You have to work with them and understand them as well.
Yeah, this comes up about like people will work with the people they know and they'll get to know the people they like. That for me is like literally this thing that I think about every day. It's just like I really like my clients and I'm lucky enough to be able to choose that right now. So I really like them. And I really want to give them the best. And they are trusting me with not only their business, but also the way it will be executed. Because maybe sometimes I'm in the other side of the world. Sometimes I'm not. I really like the freedom of being able to move around. Maybe they need a meeting and I'll go where they are because they need a physical meeting. So it's just like they are trusting in you that are moving around, changing places, and in your expertise and in the way you do your job. So if they trust that much on me, I just need to keep up to that, you know.
Yeah, and especially when you can provide that much value, they'll tell other people about it too, which is great for a person who has a business like yours where you are regularly on the move. I don't know, it could be years before you move again, but you understand what I'm saying, which is that some people live in the same place for 15 years. So in comparison to them, you move a lot. But when you're looking and moving and changing locations, having that word of mouth referral and a network of clients who value what you do so much, especially when you go the extra mile, really does help you build that business that allows you to continue your traveling lifestyle. If that makes sense, or at least that's the way I'm seeing what you're saying.
Yeah, it does make sense. By the way, I'm moving in a month. I I cannot stay in the same place for
nice. Where are you going
months.
Next?
It's just like I'm going to Singapore.
Oh, cool. So,
I actually plan just. Tell me again.
I was just going to say, so what was the choice for Singapore? Was it just the next one on the list that you want to go for? Is there something specifically you want to see in Singapore?
No, it was just that I met people here that said that Singapore was awesome. And I'm just like so excited to be in Asia. It's so beautiful. Like the things that you see here, this is the thing. We are creatives. So the most exposure that we can get ourselves into about like different cultures and different people and different mindsets, for me, it's just like a never ending learning experience. And every time someone tells me like, you need to go here because I love it and it just inspires me, I'm like, you know what? I'll go there next.
Just to be like I'll show you. I'll go there next.
Yeah, no, like literally it's so cool because people is, I don't even know how to explain it. I really think that if you are in this certain mindset, you'll get to meet people that isn't that same mindset. And I got some really amazing recommendations of places from people that is just like, you know, I really like this place. And I'm like, okay, then I'm going to go there. And I have like the best experience of my life. It's just like, it is insane. And another thing that I want to say about like the client work, and that can also connect to the part of like studying by yourself. We are in this amazing era that we can, literally everyone is just one click away. You can tweet Bill Gates. You can tweet Gary Vee. You can tweet, I don't know, you know, it's like everyone is just one click away. There's this thing that says that you're just six people away from anyone in the world. And I really believe in that. So being so close to everyone, it's just this great opportunity to be able to live your dreams and share it with everyone and get this insane amount of value no matter where you are. And if you can be that person on the other side too, like literally engaging with anyone in the world, you get this insane experience of like, there's, for me, there's no thing as like this culture's barriers or that kind of stuff. Because everyone is so amazing. And I think that there are a bunch of creatives that have this mindset of like being more into freedom. So I just really wish that everyone could live their dreams 100%. But I think that everyone, not everyone, but a lot of the people that is not making their dreams come true, they just want this shortcut of like, yeah, I get clients by putting my work, I don't know, in my website and I get all my clients from there. Or yeah, I started traveling and I made, I don't know, 20K the first month because it was this easy. Or I work an hour a day every 2 weeks and that's why I travel the world. And there's no such a like a magic formula. You just gotta put yourself out there and be ready and be there for other people and just like put in the work and you'll get some amazing results. Like, honestly, Connor, I get to live my dream and it's such a joyful moment that I just wish that everyone could live that. And it's just one click away, an extra hour every day, and just believing in your dreams. So it's just like, I don't know, I hope that everyone will be able to see that one day.
And hopefully the people listening right now to this will feel that it is something achievable, because it's difficult, because I do share a very similar mindset to you. In that regard of traveling will bring happiness, but it's also a case of it's not completely out of reach. And many people see it, I believe, as very daunting. It's very uncomfortable, especially when you first start to travel for any extended period of time. And especially just even the money side of it, people just aren't aware and they have these pre-made assumptions that they can't achieve that, either because they don't feel they're ready, they don't feel they could afford it, or they don't feel they've got enough clients coming in to be able to do that kind of thing. When you're sat here on the other end of Zoom, Sylvie, explaining that that's exactly what you do. And when you have the ability to see it from the perspective we're discussing here, I think that will hopefully open many doors for people in their own mindset.
Yeah, just like literally just emulate what I find that can be useful is just like find someone that inspires you and emulate what they do. Like, do you know this person that travels? Let's say that this is your goal. This person that travels and works, and how do they get the work that will allow them to travel, or how do they schedule their things? Right now, like, there's this whole mindset of giving out all our experiences and knowledges. So if you want to know how someone does the things that they do, you just need to go there and find their Medium or their LinkedIn or their Instagram, and you'll know. So for anyone out there struggling with it, just find someone that does that thing that you want to do and fake it until you make it. Because you will, it's just like this mindset shift. You will attract the things that you believe. So just believe that you can do it, because for sure you can. If I can do it, anyone can do it. That's a thing. And just find someone that inspires you and emulate it. It's just literally, we're all one click away. And anyone listening to this, if they want to reach out to me, just like, I will give you anything that I know that will help you out.
Awesome. All the links for Sylvie are going to be down in the description, so you can send her a message that way. But if you were someone listening on the other end right now, and you've just mentioned emulating other people, who are some either celebrities or influencers or people who have a similar lifestyle that you admire, that you emulated or looked to for advice in the beginning?
There's about like the traveling and working stuff. There's this couple that is called, their Instagram is Mary Fee and Jake Snow, and they just met traveling and they travel the world and they take amazing pictures. They make a living out of it. So they are like vegan like I am. So I really, really looked up to them, into the traveling experience and the tips and that kind of stuff. They were so helpful. There are a lot of influencers like them that will be really helpful. And about like the business experience, I really, really look up to Chris Zoll. You know him, and you know he's amazing. Like this guy, I find this mentorship that other people that is sharing value in Instagram or other social media do so inspiring, because he's like sharing everything that he knows so people can be happy and can make a living out of their passion. So for me, that was so inspiring. And one of the reasons I decided to come here and start working on sharing my experience was seeing the way that he would be like, you know, I spent a lot of time doing this and I want you to be able to do it as well if you want it. So that was so inspiring for me. And I was like, why am I not sharing all of this if it can help at least one person? It was so hard for me when I started like understanding working and traveling and like doing design stuff. I didn't find any podcast like this or any video about like a designer traveling or like a digital nomad when I just started. It was too many years ago. So this thing that he does about like sharing everything that he knows, for me, that's so inspiring in the design and business of design side. So that he's definitely someone that I look up to. I recently joined the Future Pro Group, so I get to know a little bit more about like all the information that he has in his brain. So he's like a huge inspiration. And if you cannot find someone that you can emulate, find some people that have like, oh, I like this thing about this person or that thing about that person, and put it together, or get a support group that also helps a lot. Get someone that is like-minded and wants to improve too.
Yeah, and those types of things all work. Because obviously you're part of the pro group and things like that now too, but I've just had a quick look at Marie Fee and Jake Snow's Instagram account, and whilst I've got to say they take amazing pictures, they are very much living this traveling lifestyle. But it would be great to see where they started, because obviously they've got like 600,000 followers with 1,000 posts. But I want to go back to the start of that and look at how they started and look at where they learned different things, or this is what Chris Doe's doing at the moment, which is explaining where he learned something, or what book it was, or the problems that he ran into, or how you don't need to run into the same problems, how to help you achieve faster results. And that's what I would want to look at with those types of people, and the way you've described it as well, taking things from different either influencers or people of influence, authors, bloggers, vidi vloggers, whatever you want to do, and pull out the best bits of those and put them all together. Because you'll never find someone who is 100%, well, almost never, 100% on the same wavelength as you. But you can find bits and pieces.
Yeah, we're all different persons. Yeah. And I think that the main thing is, like, just be passionate about what you want to do. Like, the first time I went out and traveled, I was in Antalya in Turkey, and I spent around like a week or 10 days. Just literally, I was drinking water and having breakfast in the hotel that I was, because I didn't have a dollar left. And I was so happy, because it was the thing that I wanted to do. I wanted to travel, and I was in an amazing country that was really beautiful. And it is what it is, you know, it's not always going to be easy. But if you have a passion for it, you're going to go through it with a smile, knowing that it will be better, and that at least you're living your dream. It's just like, be passionate about that thing that you do, and you'll never work, not even one day in your life.
Yeah. And that's actually a question that I wasn't sure if we would touch on, was people... I've been kind of pulling myself out of this pessimistic mindset a lot recently because, well, I'm British. We're all pessimistic. But
the weather, man.
Yeah, well, you say that, but it is. and I feel that a lot of people might hear this conversation, or a lot of people, the people who do hear this conversation might hear this and go, yeah, well, she's done this or she's done that. I can't do this. I can't do that. But if you were to, as you said, you were down to your last dollar or your last handful of change, and you only had a flight or you had to figure something else out, what is the process then for you? What if it all goes catastrophically wrong, or you run out of everything? What is the worst thing that can happen? Because is it a case of you just need to make sure you're planned, you're sorted, and you have a safety net? Or is it that you have things in place that help you find more work, or keep you with that passion burning rather than burning yourself out?
I think that's a really interesting question. First of all, if you're someone that really struggles with like the adventure of not knowing what's going to happen, I will just recommend that you have like a backup, like money backup. In my case, aside from the money, I do have a credit card that I never touch and I never will. So if for some reason something happens, something horrible, wrong, go, like something is really bad, and let's say that I need to go back to my mother's in Uruguay, I know that I will be able to buy a plane ticket with that. So it's just like this thing that I know that I will be able to do. So that will keep me safe. But I've honestly been doing both of the things. I've been in the middle of nowhere, not knowing where I'm going to sleep. And I'm passionate about it because I really love the adventure. I love traveling. And this is the thing. You're not the things that happen to you, but how do you take those things? And I know that it sounds like oh, really Buddha and bubbly. And yeah, this girl is saying that because she's traveling. But I'm here in my normal job, 9 to 5, and I hate my boss, you know? And like what I actually want to make sure that comes across about this, it's like, it isn't you. You got to be the person that is cheering you up. And I look outside of my window and I'm happy because I love traveling. But if you cannot do that, if you're like in this really dark place that I'm like, let's be honest, I also have days where I'm in a dark place. I'm not always this cheerful thing. And that's okay too. Just find the things that will keep you in the present moment and that will bring you to this joy place. I have this routine of writing down 3 good things that happened the day before and 3 things that I do have gratitude about. Because, you know, if you're a person that has a bed and food and friends and love, you're already way more lucky than a huge part of our planet. And that's something that we cannot take for granted. It's just, it is a process. I'm not going to lie. If you're having an amazing time, you will be most likely happy. But if you're not, you need to be able to find that joy in the little things. That's why it's so important to follow your own passion. I was studying medicine and I would be miserable. And I liked medicine. But I would be thinking every time about like quitting that and go back to my design side hustle. Because at the moment I had like a normal work and like design work and then university. So just find a routine that will keep you in the present moment. So every time that you're having a bad day, you can go back to that, write down 3 things you are grateful for.
Yeah, and having that list gives you a fresher perspective on your day, I assume. So it starts your day off in a positive way.
Exactly.
Awesome. So Sylvie, I really appreciate you coming on today's show and sharing your experiences of traveling and what it's like to balance client work and client services alongside this passion for exploring the world and trying new things. And I hope this has inspired you, listener at home, to at least look a little deeper than the surface level at this type of lifestyle to see whether it might be something you want to do, or maybe even connect with Sylvie to discuss ideas or get some help or find other people with a similar mindset. So Sylvie, where can people find you on the internet?
So you can find me on either LinkedIn or Facebook or Behance as Sil de Leon, and you can find me on Instagram at graphicaleon.
Perfect. All of those are going to be linked down in the description for today's show, along with a couple of the other things Sylvie has mentioned, like Skyscanner and Hotel Tonight as well, for you guys to check out so you can find it super easily and quickly. And again, thank you very much for tuning into this episode. We'll be back same time next week. And if you were listening on Apple Podcasts, I'd really appreciate if you went to the review section, wrote us a couple sentences about what you thought of today's show, and left us a 5-star review. If you're listening anywhere else, if you can review it, that would be fab, but I don't think anywhere else can. And, you know, Apple Podcasts is all that really matters. Sorry, Spotify people. But
I do love Spotify. What's wrong with it?
Nothing's wrong with Spotify, but anyway, you guys know I love you all. So thank you very much for listening to this episode, and I'll see you guys same time next week. Bye for now.